mercy and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Tonight we learn what baptism is. Baptism is not simply plain water. Instead, it is water included in God's command, and it is combined with the Word of God. Therefore, baptism, simply put, is water and the Word. And what word is it that is employed in baptism? That word is rather clear, for Jesus taught it. Sinners are baptized into Christ when the water is applied and the divine word is spoken. And that word, as Jesus taught in that final reading today, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So there you have it. It's pretty simple. Water and the Word. In fact, any Christian may even baptize another in the event of an emergency if that other person has not been baptized. There's even a rite for that in the inside back cover of your bulletin or of your hymnal, or a couple of pages into it from there. But ordinarily, the one who baptizes in a community is not just any Christian, but it is the pastor sent by God. That any Christian can baptize bears testimony to the reality that baptism is the water and the Word. God is at work behind His Word. It's not some special power given to certain people that make a baptism the baptism. But again, it is water and the Word. And the word that is spoken is certainly important. It is not for us to replace the words taught by Jesus with other words. So some other churches are now finding it fashionable to change the masculine names for God into something that might be neutral or gender neutral in order to pacify an angry modern culture. But we are not to do that. So while the Father is certainly the Creator, and while the Son is certainly the Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit is certainly the Sanctifier, we should never consider it possible to change the words in baptism to, I baptize you in the name of the Creator, and of the Redeemer, and of the Sanctifier. For that is not what Jesus says baptism is. For if we change the words spoken by Jesus, we most likely no longer have a baptism. As Bible-believing Lutherans, our emphasis is, as always, on the Word of God. For this gospel word is the power of God to salvation, and it is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. The word bears such importance that we honor those who are preachers of the word, and we even remember some who have in the past preached the word. For example, on this day, February 24th, the church observes St. Matthias. He was the apostle that was selected to replace Judas. That's all recorded in Acts chapter 1. Some believe he was among the 72 whom Jesus sent out to preach the word, although we don't have concrete evidence of that. And as these 72 preached the word, sinners heard the saving word of Christ, their sins were forgiven them, and they were received into God's eternal kingdom. And that work is still going on even to this day. And so we rightly emphasize the written and preached word, expounded from the sole source and norm of any legitimate teaching, which is, of course, expounded from the sacred scriptures. Now, other churches sometimes find it necessary to not place their emphasis on the word in baptism, but they place their emphasis on the ritual or the way in which baptism is conducted. So, what am I getting at? Well, some churches, for example, insist that the only valid baptism is the baptism that is done by immersion. But they'll make the claim that the word in the New Testament, the Greek word baptizo for baptize, only means immersion. But that is actually not true. That's not what the word means. In fact, there are places in the New Testament, which you don't see it as you read the English translation, where you come across the word wash, and the Greek word is also baptizo. A great example of this is found in Mark chapter 7. People were complaining that the disciples were not washing in accordance to the custom and the command of the Pharisees. The Greek word earlier there in Mark 7 is nipto, so not the word baptizo. But then in Mark chapter 7, verse 4, it is written, there are many other traditions that they, that is the Pharisees, observe, such as the washing, baptizo, of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. All right, so let's think about this for a little bit. If you want to say that the word baptizo, baptize, means to immerse, and that's the only meaning of the word, if Mark 7 only stated we're talking about washing cups, pots, and copper vessels, we could say, well, yeah, those are probably immersed as they are washed. But Mark doesn't end there. Mark also adds dining couches, so the very thing they recline on as they eat has to be washed, according to the Pharisees, the custom of the Pharisees. It wasn't a law of God. It was something the Pharisees made up in addition to the laws of God to prove their holiness and their righteousness. And there's no way that they immersed these dining couches every single time they gathered to eat. Given the difficulty obtaining water, it would have been a huge burden to draw enough water to immerse their dining couches. And that's why that word there is not translated even as immerse, but it is translated as to wash. And that is what baptism also does. It washes our sins away. The Pharisees had a custom, and that custom is not to be followed, or it's not a command for us. But what we do see from that is that that word baptizo means to wash. So again, our emphasis is not on, say, the ritual or the ceremony, but our emphasis is on the word. Baptism by immersion is perfectly fine, and baptism by sprinkling with water, as we do, is also perfectly fine. The next question arises then is, who should we baptize? Jesus teaches in our verse today, all nations. And we'll talk about infant baptism in a few weeks. But truly, infants are included in all nations. People across the globe are included in all nations. Jesus is, as John the Baptist rightly testified, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is not the Lamb of God who only takes away the sins of Republicans. He's not the Lamb of God who takes away only the sins of Democrats. He's not the Lamb of God who only takes away the sins of Americans. He's not the Lamb of God who only takes away the sins of perhaps white people. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. This is available to you and to all people who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. 150 years ago, on this very day, a book was published. It was written by Charles Darwin, and it's called The Descent of Man. 12 years earlier, he wrote Origin of the Species, which you probably are familiar, teaches evolution, saying that that's where all species came from, is through this process of evolution. 12 years later, again, 150 years ago today, he publishes The Descent of Man. And not only does this teach evolution, but it upholds, in his opinion, Caucasians as the most superior humans. Darwin also notes what he saw as a flaw in humans, and that is they are sympathetic. In other species, Darwin notes, there is no such thing. They don't have sympathy. So the weak ones, the runts, they die off. They're not given a chance to breed. But humans, in their weakness of sympathy, Darwin claims, care for the weak. And of course, God teaches us to care for the weak. And so what though happens, the problem that Darwin sees is that the weak then procreate. And then they're advanced from generation to generation. And so he laments that natural selection does not then take place within humanity. In Darwin's thinking, it would be better for natural selection to eliminate not only the weak, but also people of color whom he determined to be inferior. Now, you might be aware of the fact that we live in what they call a cancel culture today. So that way, anybody who was viewed as bad or racist, they need to be erased from memory. We can't have statues. We can't have things that commemorate our history. You know, cancel anything that might be remotely Confederate. And in the process, of course, we're revising our history, and it's making it impossible for people to look objectively at our past. But why won't the cancel culture cancel someone who should be canceled, like Charles Darwin and his thoughts, which are contradicting the will of God? Why does he continue to be given a platform and be celebrated? I had a professor in one of my classes who one day dressed up as Darwin because he loved Darwin so much. Why does his stance on evolution give him a pass from being canceled? Why the hypocrisy and the double standard? It's absolutely crazy that he is revered, even though his own teachings have continued to fuel racism and hatred, which is not acceptable in the Church of God or among God's people. The Christian religion has never been racist. All humans are descendants of Adam and Eve. God loves everyone. Jesus died for all people. So while some who go by the name Christian have certainly been racist and it is wrong of them, that is not God's teaching and it is not his way. In the same way, Christianity does not allow men to put down women or women men. If you are guilty of these things, do as John the Baptist tells you, bear fruits in keeping repentance. And use your baptism. Remember, baptism is water and the word. By your baptism, God meets you. Christ covers you with his righteousness, and your sins are forgiven. Through baptism, you are granted eternal life. Your sins are drowned, and you are raised to newness of life. Your identity is now in Christ, and you are all the same in Christ, covered in his very righteousness. When John, the Apostle John, saw the glimpse into heaven, he saw people from all nations, peoples, and tribes, centered around the throne of God and declaring God's praises. These people all appeared, in a sense, the same because they were all arrayed in white. They have all come through the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For Jesus is the Savior of the nations, and he has come not just for you, but for all people. For God loved the world, and therefore all nations are to be baptized. Jesus died on the cross to save anyone and everyone. And this salvation is applied to all who are baptized and believe. So what is baptism? Again, baptism is water and the word. And who are to be baptized? All nations. And then the baptized are to continue in that word. For Jesus says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. The baptized who are redeemed by Christ joyously grow in their knowledge of Christ and his saving word. The baptized joyously hear the things written in Scripture as they increase in wisdom. The baptized, who had the water and the word applied to them, continue to have that word of Christ pour out upon them abundantly and richly. For it is through these that God is at work to bless you with the faith and grant you salvation. Thanks be to God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting.